This is a conversation I had with Ray on Skype, more on his views on what it means to be a language coordinator, you know, as part of the linguistic team. I thought it was very nice of him to take out the time to elaborate the various aspects of the role. And although there is a page actually on the wiki site which explains and states and defines clearly what the role is, there's something about this conversation that I had with Ray that kind of gives more perspective to what the role is all about. I think people that who listen to this might just even be motivated to become a language coordinator because they just see what a great opportunity it would be to be part of something big. So I hope you enjoy this little talk from Ray.
The priority of something older, it really depends on what's in that material. The primary focus in that sense is we have to first focus on the materials that give a more complete picture, image, wide view of what a resource-based economy, what a global resource-based economy is to someone who's never heard anything about this. You know, if it's their first exposure to anything, what would you give somebody to give them an idea of what this is about? And so, you know, these little 5-minute, you know, Peter Joseph on RT doing an interview is not going to give you that kind of an overview. But addendum, that's much, much, you know, closer to home. That's a much higher priority because it is more all-inclusive of what the concept of a resource based economy is. Same thing goes for the Venus Project website. Same thing would go for Moving Forward. It's like there's Moving Forward. That's another one. It, you know, clearly explains why tools. So these things float to the top of the priority list while, you know, other things that don't come from wide view move more towards the bottom or middle, you know, whatever. And all of this determining is helped very much by discussions that I have directly with Peter, directly with Roxanne. You know, what do you feel is most important that you want to get out there? That's what we want to translate first. So, you know, that's the whole concept of the priority list. So a language coordinator takes this concept of the priority list into the team and then promotes it, doesn't push it. You know, we're not trying to force anyone to do anything they don't want to help with. If someone is really, really adamant about translating, you know, an RT interview with Peter or with Jacques or with, you know, maybe even somebody outside of the movement, you know, they want an interview with Carl Perkins or, you know, whatever, or what is it, John Perkins, you know, fine, you know, if we don't discourage them from helping it however they want to, but if the team can be more directed towards the most important items first, then that language is going to have those most important items done ahead of everything else. And when a language has those most important items done, then all people who are native to that language or who seek materials in that language are going to have the materials that they need to learn all about this direction. And, of course, that's all common sense. I'm sure I don't have to tell you any of this. But this is the focus that a language coordinator needs to have. If they come in thinking, well, you know, I'm all for the Venus Project. Fuck that zeitgeist movement. You know, they went off the path, like Jacques said. That's not what Jacques said, but some people have that stuck in their head. That's not a good language coordinator candidate. If somebody says, you know, well, I'm all, you know, I'm pro TZM, we're doing it the right way, and, you know, Jacques can go to hell, and how dare he say that the zeitgeist movement is, you know, same crap. Right. You're not good language coordinator material. We're not into an us versus them. We're not here to support one over the other. We're right. Here to support the whole resource-based economy. And if we don't do this, then who is? You know, people who are pro Venus Project are going to be pushing the Venus Project, not the resource-based economy, as, you know, as much as they should. People who are pro TZM are going to be pushing joining the movement over understanding of a resource-based economy. This is what we've, what, well, at least what I've been experiencing for the past 3 years. People, they allow themselves to get polarized. And of course, that's part of this whole sick society. The linguistic team has to be immune to that. So hopefully you understand where I'm going with all of this. And hopefully anybody who winds up listening to this recording can also see the pure beauty of throwing all of that us versus them out the window and just, you know, becoming immune to it and helping their team be immune to it. So that's part of language coordinator, is that you have to protect your team. You have to protect them from outside influences that will try to polarize people within the team. I don't want to paint a picture of, you know, some kind of bouncer, you know, like at a bar bouncer or a bodyguard or anything like, you know, special forces or what do they call that for the guys that protect, like, the president of the U.S., the Secret Service. Yeah. You know, we're not talking about something like that. It's just if somebody comes in and tries to throw that kind of influence into the team, then the language coordinator needs to be strong enough in their understanding of what a resource-based economy is really about to be able to, you know, interrupt and say, wait a minute, you know, you're talking to the wrong crowd here because we don't see those differences. You know, we're all in this together. And it's not just the Zeitgeist Movement, the Venus Project. It's even the people who were against the Zeitgeist Movement and the Venus Project. We are all in this together, all 7+ billion of us, plus all of the other life on this planet, plus all of the life that may or may not exist in other planets. We're all in this universe together. And this is all about moving ahead. It's not about, you know, polarizing. So anyway, I'm going to stop harping on all that. That's part of it. And then, of course, you are responsible for attempts. You know, none of this comes down to how good you are or not. You're not going to get fired from the position because you're not very good at certain aspects of this. It's not that kind of a role. This is volunteer. We're all volunteers. We're all equals. I am no better or worse than somebody who can only give 2 hours a month to, you know, translating. And if we can understand that, really take that approach. No one is better. No one's the leader. No one is the, I don't even know how to put this. No one's the king here. You know, and that includes the language where I say, that includes me. We all have roles to play, and we can share experience and information and all get there faster, taking on varied roles and tasks. So that's really what this approach is. So part of the role of the language coordinator is team building, and that means basically you're on a continual quest to promote the needs of your team. You know, okay, we've got 3 translators and 1 proofreader. Well, we're going to need, you know, hopefully more than 1 proofreader. Let's go and promote the need for proofreaders. So you might put out a Facebook thread every once, you know, once every 2 weeks or so, just saying, you know, if anyone is interested in helping to proofread, TTM PVP materials in Telugu or whatever the, you know, Marathi, whatever the language might be, you know, please get in touch with me. And keeping it that simple, no pressure, no nothing, etc. People will respond when they see that there's a need for something that they feel they could be good at, even if they never tried it before. You know, if people are willing, then you, as a language coordinator, need to have developed an environment that encourages them to come in, try, and you and the others help them, you know, help them to maximize their potential, if you will. If it turns out they're not very good at proofreading, well, then, okay, so maybe they wind up being more of a translator, but your team is still growing. So that's another side of this, to, you know, continually work to grow your team. The more people we have, excuse me, let me back up a second. I've said this for probably since the very beginning. We never want anybody to feel like they have to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, that you're not doing enough, you're not working enough, you're not translating fast enough, you're not, et cetera, et cetera. instead look at the overall team, and if things don't seem to be progressing fast enough, it simply means you don't have enough people. A lot of people doing just a little bit adds up to a lot of stuff getting done. So the idea is grow the team to that point where things are flowing the way that you would, and not just you as the coordinator, but I mean the way the whole team would love to see that kind of a flow. Get the team, get the people in the team involved in all of these things. You know, a lot of times somebody might come up, like, let's say a translator comes up to a term that they're trying to translate, but there's no term for that in Hindi or in Telugu. Encourage them to bring that to the rest of the team. You know, hey guys, I'm working on this project. I'm on such and such string, whether it's in Poodle or in Dutsup or whatever. And I don't really know what to do with this one term. Does anyone have maybe an alternative term that would still give the same context? Because that's really, really important. Context is king here. That we could translate. And if nobody really has anything that everybody goes, yes, that's it. Okay, well then bring that question into the forums and open it up for all the other teams. Because chances are pretty good there's another language out there that had the same problem. Find out how they solved it. And by sharing this information, even across language teams, we can very quickly solve all the problems that come up, or just about all the problems that come up. So that sharing part is important. And getting the whole team involved in these kinds of decisions is, I feel, very, very important. So that's another part of the language coordinator role, is this encouragement of team participation. Not just taking on the assumption that they are responsible for coming up with the final word on, things don't work like that. You know, now you're talking about more of a dictatorship or a boss kind of a role, and it's not about that. So hopefully, that you get the idea there. I'm probably overkilling the descriptions here, but for anybody listening, I really want them to understand that this is. This is serious, serious fun, unless you somehow destroy that part of it. You know, if it's not fun for you, chances are pretty good you're taking a wrong approach. Maybe you're trying to control too much of it. That will take the fun out of it. Maybe you're not sharing enough of it with the team. You're not getting the team involved enough, so you're going to feel very lonely in this kind of a role if you're doing that. This is probably the most serious thing that any of us have ever done in our lives. And, you, Rishi, I know you accept it that way. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing the stuff that you're now doing, with focusing on lectures and perfecting the sharing of information with crowds. That's not easy. And for a lot of people, it's probably the scariest thing in the world. More scary than death is public speaking, and here you are attacking that. So I know that you take this as serious fun. You wouldn't be able to still be here if you didn't take it as with that fun part of it. Okay, and then there's of course the mechanical parts of the role, which would be when an item reaches that point where it's fully translated. Okay, now you have to switch everything over into like a proofreading mode, and when working in Poodle and Dotsub, we have the ability to put these materials into what we call protected mode. In other words, what we wind up doing is we switch everyone's permissions or rights or whatever you want to call them over to view only. So the translators can no longer access the controls to make changes to the translation. And those, the access to those controls are then only given to the proofreaders. This way the proofreaders wind up with a protected area, a protected space, where they know they can go in, do what they do without interruption, without even somebody from outside of the team coming in and just saying, oh, I don't like that word, changing some things that the proofreader's already fixed. Nothing is more frustrating than having your proofreading destroyed by somebody who didn't even realize it was being proofread. So this protected mode that we're talking about takes rights, or the ability to touch it away from everybody except for the proofreaders. So that's one thing that we can do in both .sub and Poodle. I would have to explain to the language coordinator how we do that and what we need to do in order to prep for that. For one thing, like say in .sub, we need the .sub usernames, not the passwords, but the usernames of the proofreaders. We then create inside .sub what's called a group. And then we take the translation and we set it so that no one but the members of that group can touch it. And of course, the language coordinator is a member of that group as well. So the coordinator can get in there and all of the proofreaders can get in there. When the proofreaders have completed everything, the whole thing is then presented back to the team. Again, this is part of that getting the team involved. You know, please, everybody take a quick run through, make sure that, you know, there's nothing in there that makes you kind of go, you know, maybe we need to look at that one phrase again. You know, generally speaking, if the proofreaders are doing a good job, everybody goes, oh, this is beautiful. Now the team has finally declared this whole thing to be official. It's not me that declares it to be official. It's not the language coordinator. It's the team that declares, you know, a completed translation as this is the official Hindi translation of addendum. You know, again, it takes that boss thing out of it. And by getting people involved in that final decision, it makes the teammates, the members of the team, feel the kind of sense of ownership of, you know, the work that they've done, rather than being an unpaid slave to a language coordinator or to me or to, you know, Linguistic Team International or to the Zeitgeist or whatever. But those, again, that's all the mechanics of it. You know, when you get to that point where it's ready to be put into protected mode, the language coordinator simply goes into the forums and makes a to-do. And I think we talked about those to-dos the other day. Let me pass you that section of the forum.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna pass it to you anyway.
So I just have a question on that one. The to-dos is pretty much the replacement for what we used to use as Etherpad. Would you say that?
Well, Etherpad, PirePad, and SyncIn, and all of those, they've been used for so many different things. So it's I can't just give a blanket yes to this is the replacement for Etherpad, because there's still valid reasons for using something like Etherpad or PirePad or Google Docs or, you know, any other number.
So can you give me an example why an Etherpad would still be used when you have the to-dos, which is all in a central location on the forums.linguisticteam.org website?
The to-do function is built into, well, actually, it's an extension that I installed separately, but it's as once it's installed, it's a part of the forums. The only thing that to-dos are for making known milestones. You know, when an item is completely translated, and you and the team wish for it to be put into protected mode, a to-do will get that done for you. And you create the to-do by saying that, okay, the addendum is now ready for protected mode in, you know, Marathi. Okay, great. That mobilizes the admin group to go into .sub, into the back end, and turn off the ability for everybody in the world to touch it and assign the group to it only. And then we come back into the to-do, edit it, and you know, type back to you, okay, done. You know, have fun. You know, tell the proofreaders, have fun. Give them big hugs from all of us. You know, that kind of thing. Again, we this very, very seriously, but you know, everything that we try to do comes from that, you know, position of love and hugs and whatnot. So, you know, now your team, if you are the coordinator for that team, now you know it's open, it's ready for you, and it's also protected. And then when you're completely done with that, you've presented it back to the team, and everybody says, oh, this is great, okay, great. Now your team is ready to declare it as official. You go back and create another to-do saying, this one is done. You know, spread it far and wide. So that mobilizes, again, the admin team to go back in. Now we remove the proofreading group. So now it's completely locked down from anybody. We call it lockdown. The only person that would have any access to it would be the language coordinator. Or if it's a big team and they have more than one coordinator, then, you know, all of the coordinators that have any interest in paying attention to .sub, to the videos side of things, those folks would still have access. Because 3 months from now, somebody may come back up and say, hey, guys, I was watching this, and you might want to take a look at this. I think we've got an error that we've still got to fix. You know, okay, that happens. Well, now the coordinator can go back in and make that fix in the working location, throw up yet another to-do, say, I found a mistake, can you correct this in the public versions? Because what we'll do with that is not just remove the proofreader group, we'll also then copy the SRT over into the repository location. We will upload that into YouTube, into the main, you know, Linguistic Team International YouTube channel. If that video is also inside the TTM official channel, well, then the SRT goes up in there. If it's a Venus Project multimedia item, then the SRT will go up in the TBP official. It's not called that. It's called Venus Project Media channel. Then, you know, the SRT goes up in there. These two, TBP and TTM, their two official channels have, you know, literally millions of viewers. So this is reaching a wide audience. The team itself, like let's pick on, I don't know. I guess we'll pick on Telugu for this. The Telugu team, I have recommended this for probably about 7 or 8 months. Each team should have its own dedicated Linguistic Team YouTube channel, not one that's tied to TZM or tied to TVP, but that's specifically for Linguistic Team neutral, you know, the channel is for both websites' materials. And that way the team can also upload the video, upload the subtitles into it, and take the description that you find at the TZM or TVP's official channel and translate that into your native language, put that in your own YouTube channel. Everything on your team's YouTube channel would be in your native language. By doing that, you're going to attract a lot of people who cannot read English, cannot understand when they try to go to the TBP official channel or the TZM official channel. They're not really feeling like they're at home because the stuff's in English. Maybe they can watch the video in their native language under subtitles, but the rest of it's in English. And, you know, that's not going to make them really feel like a part of this. If the team has their own Linguistic Team specific channel and everything is in Telugu, they're going to feel, hey, this is where we hang. You know, this is, we're going to watch this channel. You know, and you can rally a lot of people around a team channel that way. This, by the same token, we recommend that the team also create a Linguistic Team specific same thing Facebook page and use that to announce milestones, completed items, not necessarily things like we're going to start the moving forward project now. But then again, you may also want to do that. We don't do that with the LTI channel, Facebook channel, but I could easily see a team channel saying we're now going to focus on this particular item. If anybody is interested in helping to translate, you know, it might be another way to promote more translators or more proofreaders when you get to that point. But we found that Facebook has brought a lot of interest into the overall Linguistic Team. And then teams that have taken that advice and gone and made their own YouTube and Facebook channels are having much more success because they're reaching more people that they wouldn't have reached otherwise. Okay. And they're reaching it on both ends. They're reaching it interest-wise through Facebook, and then they're reaching people who are just learning about the whole thing through the product end, you know, in YouTube. And if you have both of those channels pointing back to each other, you know, on YouTube, you should have you know, here is our Facebook page or a Facebook group, and then on your Facebook thing, put up a document that says, here are our resources, and maybe the top one is your YouTube page. Here's where you can see the fruits of all of our labor. Come join the fun and be a translator with us. You know, again, promoting the team.
Right.
Build up enough. So, you know, I mean, so really the bottom line is that the language coordinator has to see all of this as part of a systems approach. Each individual team, and I'm going to use Jacques' words here, each individual team is an interdisciplinary team, focused, you know, of you know, different specialists or generalists or however you want to view that. Some people are going to be better at translating, other people at proofreading. Some people, you might have somebody on the team who focuses only on final reviews. You know, after the proofreaders are done, they go through the final review just to make sure that there's consistency in the translations. You know, we've got the Venus Project phrase shows up 5 times in this video, but it's translated 3 different ways. We need that consistency. Let's come up with one way to translate the Venus Project and put that in our own glossary, and this is how we'll always translate it, and then they can go through and correct the ones that are not translated that way. So, you know, that's in movie making in Hollywood, they call that the continuity person. You know, they have somebody for every movie who works just on continuity. You know, okay, in this scene, you can see the clock up on the wall, and it's 4:00, and in this next scene, it's just supposed to be the same scene from a different angle, but you can still see the clock, and now it says 7. Okay, that's got to be fixed. These people, you know, there are people who are just professionals at that. Well, this final review idea is similar, you know. So you don't want to have the same phrase coming up 5 times in one video and translated 3 different ways. It would confuse the hell out of people who are trying to understand this for the first time. So, but again, now we're getting into some details that are, you know, much less demanding or much less, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe I should say much more anal retentive than the overview, you know. You know, obviously, you're not going to jump in and create a brand new team and the first thing you're looking for is a final reviewer. No, no, no. The priority is you need translators. Then you need proofreaders. But the whole time you need an environment that works. Final proofreader can come later, you know, or final reviewer, you know, kind of thing. And oftentimes it's the coordinator themselves who serve in that role of final reviewer. So that's how it was when I first started the linguistic team. I was the final reviewer of everything in English. Right. And it very quickly became too much. I need other people help. I'm not even going to go there. I was just going to say, the language coordinator cannot be a person who is of high ego value. They've got to be somebody who's willing to, as soon as they recognize that there's more here than what they can handle, they got to say, you know, hey guys, anybody want to take on some of these tasks? You know, I can't do it all. Give me a hand. And the more, but this also goes towards that environment. The more you get your members involved, the more they're going to feel a part of that, really a part of the heart of the team. You know, I used the word ownership before, and it's the wrong word to use, but I think in today's culture, I think you understand what I mean by it. Right. Nobody owns anything, but right. If they really feel a part of a sharing of it, then I think you get the idea.
Right. Okay.
So, and there's other aspects to the mechanics of it. You know, I mentioned briefly the idea of a glossary, a king glossary, but we're actually developing a global glossary with a master glossary, you know, based in English, bringing together all of the terms that all teams have collected over the past couple of years as ones that give them issues, putting together a master glossary from that and then duplicating that for all of the languages, giving them full descriptions, synonyms, contextual examples. You know, we're trying to give the works back to the teams to make it easy for the team to sit down and say, okay, if this is what that term means, what is the best translation we can come up with for it? And that will stick with that translation. That way, anytime that term comes up or that phrase comes up, there's consistency across all all the multimedia that the team works on. It'll always be translated the same way. That's a very, very important aspect of all professional translation houses. And we should be giving it no less, assuming that the team is ready for that kind of a step. Obviously, if you only have three people on a team, you can handle this by just talking amongst each other, having the open lines of communication. But when you get up to the point where you've got seven translators and four proofreaders, and, you know, okay, well, now we need something more solid that everybody can look at, because you're not going to be able to just bring 11 people together every time somebody has a question. It's a very emergent thing, you know, growing a team. And it's also incredibly, this is the most incredibly rewarding thing I've ever been involved in. Right. And I hope that, you know, anybody who does take on a role of language coordinator gets more than just a little taste of that.
Right.
Okay, the last thing that I wanted to mention is that our primary focus here is the direct support of the most important materials and the body, both the Zeitgeist Movement and the Venus Project. As such, we need to become the bridge between these two entities, if you will, not necessarily connecting them together, but connecting both of them to us. And what I mean by that is that we have to have an active, gentle, loving outreach program into the chapters that relate to our particular language team. So, you know, a Marathi linguistic team needs to be directly in touch and have a, you know, very, very good working relationship with any Marathi chapters for TCM, as well as any Marathi TVP activist groups. And the way TVP is structured, there's only going to be one, because they're focusing more on language than location, whereas TZM focuses more on location than language. So, you know, so we need to create and nurture bridges between the linguistic team and both of these chapters and activist teams, assuming they exist. If they don't exist, then perhaps in time the linguistic team itself can grow to the point where they can actually become the TVP activism group for Marathi, or the Marathi chapter of the Zeitgeist Movement, or both, if neither exists already. But of course, that's down the road as the team grows.
Right.
But the more we can create these ties that bind, the less a team is going to find rogue translation groups trying to translate the same stuff that they're translating, you know, faster. Or the problem with rogue groups is that they don't have any actually, I'm saying this wrong, the majority of them have shown no propensity whatsoever to even consider the concept of proofreading.
Okay.
And so what are they putting out to the public? It's confusing. And I don't know if you've ever heard me describe this one example, but when I first launched the linguistic team, I was the only member. The second member was Vixie Sue. And she just loved the concept. She said, this is so needed, especially for Spanish, because they've got Spanish, you know, big clans of Spanish all over the world that speak different dialects and they don't really get along. Okay, so organizing is awesome. And she set out on a quest to locate anything that had already been translated, either in full or partially. She came across a copy of, I think it was the orientation presentation video, the one where Peter is doing the activist orientation guide live in right. lecture with slides behind him.
Right.
And there was a part of this video where he came out and said, the Zeitgeist Movement is the activist arm of the Venus Project.
Right.
The translation, however, was just off, just a little bit. And what came through, when you translate it back to English, instead of it saying that the Zeitgeist Movement is the activist arm of the Venus Project, it said that the Zeitgeist Movement are the armed activists of the Venus Project.
Wow.
Now, it's only a slight difference in words, But contextually speaking, now the image of people who've never heard of this are gonna—they're gonna have pictures of us walking around with Uzis and AK-47s and you know, grenades strapped to our sides. What do you mean? We're the armed activists? What?
Right.
You know, and yeah. When we cannot support rogue translation groups.
Right.
And, you know, that's the kind of, that just solidified it for me. That told me that the whole concept of this linguistic team that had just been launched is righteous. Thank you, Sue. Thank you so much for showing me that.
Right.
We still joke around about it. And, right. You know, obviously I just shared it with you and anybody listening. So, so it's important that we understand some of that history too. The reason why the linguistic team exists is to avoid that as much as possible.
Right.
And eventually to get our translations so prevalent across, you know, as far and wide, especially in places like YouTube and Vimeo and whatnot, that we drown out and make obsolete any rogue translations that are out there already. We have to overcome those before we can expect to really reach our target audience, which is 7 billion people plus.
Right.
So if, you know, keeping perspective, I think, is also a very, very important part of the language coordinator role, as well as sharing that perspective and helping to nurture that perspective among the entire team. If the whole team really understands the purpose here, that they're not just translating for members of the Zeitgeist Movement. They're not just translating for people that are working over in at TBP. We're not just translating for the overall RBE community that already supports all of this. Those people don't need these materials. They're already here. This is for the other close to 7 billion people who've never heard of this.
Right.
And as such, the responsibility is both crushingly, you know, important is such a, I don't know, such a weak word compared to the responsibility that we're taking on here.
Right.
And yet, we can do this in a way that it is just absolutely gentle, fun, loving, completely RBE, completely open source, completely transparent, completely, you know, giving without expectation of return. You know, the whole thing, everything that RBE is meant to be, we can practice it here. And there have been a number of people that I've witnessed go through some incredible transformations of the self, where they have, since they started working with the linguistic team, they didn't get this in the last three projects that they worked with. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many people have you know, contacted me on the side and told me these kinds of stories that they've experienced so many aha moments where they finally understood what Jacques was talking about when he was going through expectations, or when he was talking about you know, the concept of what's the word I'm looking for? Incentive. Or, you know, what Peter was talking about when he covered incentive, or when he talked about the system of dog-eat-dog. Now they understand, because they've actually seen RBE in action within the linguistic team. And,
wow.
You know, I hate to say it this way, but it's one of the few things that I allow to touch my ego. I try my damnedest to keep my ego down, and you know, a lot of us get incredible compliments. A lot of language coordinators have come back and said, "I'm having a real hard time because, you know, people are complimenting all the stuff the team is doing, but they're thanking me." I said, "Well, that's easy. Tell them, you know, you're talking to the wrong person. Go tell those translators that made it possible. Deflect, man, deflect."
Right.
You know, but this is, and I'm constantly deflecting and saying, no, I'm just the orchestra conductor.
Right.
You want to thank the musicians, man. So,
right.
But when they come back and say, "I understand now," I feel that swelling in my chest. You
yeah.
know, I allow a little bit of that to touch me. But then I got to shut the damn thing back off again. I don't want to be egotistical about any of this.
Right.
What we're all doing here is incredible. It's not what the language coordinator coordinator is fiddling that's incredible. It's what the language coordinator is helping the translator to help the proofreader to help. You know, we're all, it you know, the machine takes all comms, not just one work. So anyway, so you can stop recording. I want to get that out.
Sure. Okay.
Sure that was important.
That's great. Very, very important point. Thank you so much for sharing that.